Are we ready? So, good evening. It is August 18th, 2021. In compliance with the Open Public Meeting Act, this is a regular meeting of the Township Committee. The meeting notice has been posted at the Municipal Building, distributed to the Hunterdon Review, Courier News, the Express Times, the Hunterdon County Democrat, and the Star Ledger. Would you all please rise for the flag salute, followed by a moment of silence to honor all of the veterans who served in Afghanistan, as well as our first responders and current servicemen and women.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. The first item of business is presentation of the minutes of the August 4th, 2021 regular and executive session minutes. The clerk has one typo on page 4 to bring to our attention.
Yes, the under sign ordinance,
third sentence down, 2018. Any other comments from the committee? Would there be a motion to accept the regular and executive session minutes as amended, stated by the clerk?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. With that, we would open to public comment. I'd like to note that we have five public hearings to follow, one on each of the ordinances coming up. So I would encourage comments related to the ordinances to be made in the public hearings for each ordinance. Then we can keep the record of the comments together. But I also remind people that this meeting is recorded. The recording is posted on the website promptly. Is there a motion to open public comment limited to agenda items only?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. This time, any member of the public who would like to make a comment, please come to the desk. Please state your name, the road you live on, if it's appropriate in the township.
Thank you. I'm Roger Marion of Marion and Allen. I'm here as an attorney representing NAR Group, Inc., who is at a commercial lessor at 62 Anthony Road in Lebanon, New Jersey. Okay. I'd like to comment on item one, which is the cannabis regulation. First of all, on the cannabis regulation, as you all know, you have township ordinances regarding land use. Ordinance section 400-9A permits the use of certain properties, including my client's property, for the growing of cannabis and agricultural uses. The current proposed ordinance would ban that use, and therefore this would affect the use of land. That said, I would note that I've reviewed the record, and what I've noticed is that there is a not compliance yet with New Jersey Statute 40:55D-26 subsection A. That requires not just that the Planning Committee review the statute, which I understand may have happened, but specifically that the Planning Committee has to call out any inconsistencies with prior zoning ordinances and also be given the opportunity then to comment on perhaps resolutions to get around that conflict. Here we have a very clear conflict, and at least in the minutes of the Planning Board, which were actually just met last night, and up to this date, there has been no discussion of conflicts between the new ordinance and the previous zoning. Therefore, just so you, it's my opinion that any vote on the statute before that specific report is officially requested and at least given 35 days and received, any vote would be an unlawful vote, counter to the statute that I've just cited. That said, why am I speaking here? Well, as you know, the ordinance that's coming up has been written. It's in clear, plain English. And it's been suggested that it only regards recreational uses of marijuana. And my client has nothing to do with recreational. He would be a very much concealed commercial use with $14 million in investment into the property. There would be no signage. There would be virtually no traffic, maybe a sprinter leaving every once in a while with a delivery once or twice a month. So we're not talking about anything recreational here. This is just a commercial enterprise that, by the way, would add about 20% to the tax coffers annually of this town. The way the statute is written, there is a carve-out in there regarding deliveries from other towns, but there's no carve-out as to Class 1, which is the cultivation license. It says all classes of license are prohibited. Nothing about recreational, nothing about other carve-outs. So that would prohibit the use by my client for a commercial cultivation on that property. Therefore, of course, falling very squarely in the revised statutes that I was just speaking about, and also preventing this town from getting that tax revenue. Let me also point out very importantly that some people have suggested that perhaps we could pass the statute tonight and then revise it later and allow him to come in. That doesn't work either. The state is very clear on its website, and I think I cited in my letter to the board, that they've posted that they're going to review the statutes. So the minute this thing is voted on, you can bet that without explanations, no chance to offer up letters or anything else, they're just going to go online, and the state's going to read the statute. And when they read the statute as written, they're going to tell my client, your license is no longer granted. Go home. And then they're not going to be able to apply again. Just so you know, these are not like liquor licenses. The license we're talking about for commercial cultivation is one of 37 licenses, I believe is the correct number, that will be offered between now and 2024. If this is passed, he is shut down permanently, and they have to try and recoup their losses because you can't have a business that's closed for 3 years. So we're in a situation where I have to urge you that the passage of the ordinance would not, at this time at least, be compliant with the law, that you'd be terminating a massive tax opportunity for this this township, and you'd be terminating my client's reasonable prospects at having any business whatsoever because of the way the licensure is set up. So if there are any questions, otherwise I'll rest on my letter, but he's in a very special situation. Very few people came in with architectural drawings, with a piece of property that they've already leased, okay, and a friendly landlord, with $14 million to do the build-out. This is an exceptional situation, and an exceptional and not by any means ordinary opportunity. And it all gets blown if this ordinance passes. I would urge you not to do so. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Any other members of the public that would like to make a comment on agenda items?
Just want to confirm you're going to have a public hearing on the ordinance, and
yes,
at that time we'll be able to give
yes
comment as well.
Yep.
Thank you.
Seeing none, is there a motion to close public comment?
I'll make a motion to close public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Attorney Lenz, would you like to say anything now or as we move into the next?
Again, it's been represented, and I believe everybody on Township Committee received correspondence late today regarding these issues. And I will state that, you know, we are proceeding under the discretionary authority granted to us, the Township Committee, I should say, under the Recreational Marijuana Act. We are not taking action under the Compassionate Care Act. We are, again, as previously discussed at several meetings, we are exercising authority granted to us by the legislation itself, and the steps we have taken are compliant, and the committee can act on this tonight, and the committee, quite frankly, is aware, it's been made aware that if we don't act tonight, we're up against a deadline. So I would simply say that to the Township Committee, and again, aware that the Township Committee has received correspondence late this afternoon regarding this ordinance, and you know, whatever vote occurs from there will impact the township and going forward. But again, it does not in any way touch rights under the Compassionate Care Act, because we weren't given that authority, and we've discussed that before. And you know, it's a separate parallel lane. So that is for consideration of the Township Committee. Again, if there's additional comment during the public hearing, I do, again, note to Township Committee that the content of the letters, but we are able to proceed as the agenda list to members of committee.
All right. So the next item on the agenda is consideration of ordinance number 2021-07 related to cannabis. Just as a little recap of how we got here, almost 6 months ago, the state passed the New Jersey Cannabis Regulatory Enforcement Assistance and Marketplace Modernization Act, shorthand referred to as CREMA. This committee began discussion almost immediately, so for nearly 6 months, this has been on various agendas in this committee. We did have a joint meeting with the Planning Board, which gave recommendations to this committee. We've received input from our professional planner, from our professional engineer, from members of the public, from our zoning officer. And this committee, after considerable consideration and discussion in the public meetings, has unanimously introduced the ordinance that we have before us, which prohibits the six classes of licenses defined by the CREMA legislation, specifically related to recreational marijuana, and the ordinance would prohibit all six classes of licenses in the Township of Lebanon. Does anyone in the committee want to have any discussion prior to opening for the public hearing? At this time, then, is there a motion to open the public hearing on ordinance number 2021-07?
I'll make a motion to open a public hearing on ordinance 2021-07, cannabis.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. This time, if any member of the public would like to make a comment, please come to the microphone, identify yourself.
Thank you. Good evening, Mr. Mayor, Township Committee Member Stephen Gruenberg, attorney in Flemington, New Jersey, on behalf of Nitin Manglani, who is the owner of 62 Anthony Road, Block 57, Lot 23, in Lebanon Township. I forwarded correspondence to the Township today. I would ask that that be made a part of the record of this hearing, and also Mr. Marion's correspondence with the attachments as well. I'm not going to repeat everything that's in the correspondence, but you know, as a lawyer, you know you're in trouble when you go to print out a statute and your printer keeps going on and on and on, and you start to wonder, how long is that statute? And the statute that we're talking about, 340 pages. It's a book. And the problem in trying to formulate an ordinance that deals with a statute like that is that you got to be really careful. And I don't envy Township Attorney and your professionals in having to come up with an ordinance that deals with this situation. But in 2019, we met with the mayor and township committee representatives and township professionals with respect to our proposal for a medical cultivation cannabis operation on my client's property. And we were very forthright about it, what we wanted to do, because we thought it was a really great opportunity, not only for Lebanon Township, but for my client's property, which he had just purchased, which was a run-down property that everybody knows in the township that was essentially fallow for 15 years. So at great expense, he entered into lease agreements. After receiving the correspondence from the township attorney indicating that essentially it's a permitted use in the zone, what we planned to do at that time. And there's some question now as to whether this ordinance makes it a prohibited use. If it is interpreted as a prohibited use, we're going nowhere with the state. They will just deny the application outright. And the problem with the ordinances you have drafted right now is that it is open to interpretation because it isn't clear as to exactly what uses you're banning. And I think that was actually a statement that was made, maybe by Ms. Kohler, at the last hearing on first reading, that there might be some issues with this ordinance because of how it's going to be interpreted. And I'd like to go over it just a little bit with you. If you take a look at the language of the ordinance, and we'll get right to the skinny of it. On number one, under therefore be it ordained,
All classes are hereby prohibited from operating anywhere in the Township of Lebanon.
Whoa, that doesn't say just class one, cultivation, class two, whatever they all are broken down. It just says all classes are prohibited. Then, under the next section, which is a little bit better, quite honestly, it says all classes of cannabis establishments as said terms are defined in Section 3 of Public Law 2021, Chapter 16, but not the delivery of cannabis items as related supplies by a delivery service which is located in another municipality.
Well,
then you have to go to this thing. What is that section, Public Law 2021, Chapter 16, Section 3? And if you go to that section, the way your ordinance is defined, that is a definition section. It's a definition section of the statute. It doesn't really break down class 1, class 2, class 3, class 4. And in fact, one of the definition sections that is found within Section 3 is there's a definition of medicinal cannabis. Medicinal cannabis means cannabis dispensed to registered qualifying patients pursuant to the Jake Honig Compassionate Use Medical Cannabis Act. And medical cannabis does not include any cannabis or cannabis items which is cultivated, produced, processed, and consumed in accordance with a public law. That's the problem with your ordinance. It is doing exactly, arguably, what you don't want it to do. You're including potentially medical marijuana pursuant to the Compassionate Care Act that your counsel just indicated you're not doing. It's within that definition section. So how do we remedy this? There's two ways. You can either defeat the ordinance. If you do that, that's kind of beyond us, okay? Lebanon Township is not going to be the cannabis capital of New Jersey. There are very few licenses that are going to be issued, both for retail, cultivation, for any of these things. People aren't going to be flocking to Lebanon Township to be able to have cannabis operations. This is highly competitive. There are very, very few of these licenses being issued. There's no danger if you deny this ordinance and you don't enact it. You know, the danger is that you're going to lose potentially, just administratively, at the state bean counters, when they see this ordinance, saying, you know what, Mr. Maglani, arguably this ordinance prohibits your use, deny, boom, no permit, no license, have to start all over again. You may say, well, we can amend the ordinance later and we're just trying to do this as a stopgap. Doesn't work for us or for you because they'll just deny the application. He spent tens of thousands, maybe more, on this, pursuing this with the state based upon our meeting in 2019. So that's the first way of avoiding this problem, which I don't necessarily think is a problem for the township in denying the ordinance. The other way is to tweak this ordinance to say exactly what Mr. Lyons has just indicated, which is adding a sentence. Nothing herein precludes any uses permitted under the Compassionate Care Act. It takes one sentence. That would allow, arguably, my client to say, we have a medicinal marijuana cultivation application that is still a permitted use in the zone. And that's consistent with the correspondence that was issued to my client in August 2019. I think you can easily tweak it, because it's just adding language in there that isn't the intent of what you want to do in adopting this ordinance, saying it's not precluding the compassionate care uses that are permitted under the statute. If you do that, I think it solves everybody's problem. If you don't do that, we've got a big problem. And My client, Mr. Marion represents the lessor, who is a large group of people, one of which my client's involved in. My client's the property owner. He's shown that he wanted to work with the township. He's a nice young guy who has his personal investment in this community and wants to continue that. If you do what the township attorney had indicated is really the intent of this ordinance by tweaking that language, if we get our license, which we expect to then at that point, we still need to do site plan approval and any C variances that might be required. The township and the planning board still has the opportunity to review any application. It's just saying that that use, which is being recognized by all of us as permitted, isn't questionably outlawed by this ordinance. That's our concern with the ordinance. I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have. My client is eager to talk to you. He wants to explain to you how this isn't a danger and answer any questions you might have as to this particular use. But again, this is something that's supposed to be permitted under the Compassionate Care Act. We want you to accept that out.
If there's no comments from the committee, we'll thank you for your comment.
Hope you consider it.
Any other public comments on Ordinance 2021-07? Please come to the microphone. State your name again.
Sorry to come back under a second section. Roger Marion, here for NAR Group. I just want to address one thing. I respectfully disagree with Town Council. There is no licensure under the Compassionate Care Act for GROW. To say that this does not exclude GROW under that statute is like saying it doesn't preclude fishing under a driver's license. It's not something that's there. So if you want to preclude it, that you're taking that act knowingly, but you can't say I'm going under this act and not under that act, because that act doesn't provide for it. If anyone has any questions, I do want to answer anything you might have. Anything? Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Please, if you'd like, come to the microphone. Please identify yourself, the road you live on.
I'm Nick Gladney. You want to be sitting
there? Yep, please. And you are at 62.
Anthony Road.
Right.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Nitin McGlanney. I own the old Dibron Aerosol Factory, Block 57, Lot 23, in Glen Gardner of Lebanon Township. Those of you who have been in this town long enough know the eyesore this place is. It's neglected for 20 years, and it's just getting worse and worse by day. I purchased this property with the vision of restoring it back to, what it used to be. 150 people used to work there at one point, so it has the potential, but it needs a lot of work. After years of research on this property and our proposed business, we developed a plan that would be most cost-efficient way to bring this property back to life. We built a team, and we registered our company as our own employee-owned company. And we're taking the next step forward with this property, which this is the only way. Obtaining a cultivation license in New Jersey is extremely hard, like everyone knows. The parameters set forth by the state they make sure they have the best of the best people. Like, if anyone on this board has seen an application, it is not an easy application. It took us a big team to put this application together. They wanted to see everything, One in every 15 towns will get a license, a cultivation license, till 2024. So there's no way, every corner you're going to have something. There's not going to happen, And they've stated this, that only 37 licenses will be issued for the next 3 years. And unfortunately, this is a politically enhanced license. It's all about who you know in this license. we worked very hard for this license for 5 years. We submitted all our application in 2018-19 with 196 other applicants. Most of these applicants are big billion-dollar companies that have the lobbyists right in their pocket, and they put this whole thing out. You know, they don't have to do anything. We worked the hard way, and we put this license together. This state will only allow two cultivation licenses this term for Central New Jersey region, as it is. So we have a very hard chance as it is, you know, and that's why we did what we did. The CRC's deadline is August 21st. Without regulations currently in place, they want the towns to move forward, which, you know, we understand it's not, you know, it's common sense for you guys to opt out, you know. But they also say right underneath that the state will not grant a license to any applicant where it violates township ordinance. That's the only sentence they put, that as long as you violate township ordinance, you're not getting a license. You know, so it's not they're going to see a letter like, you know, either approved for medical. They won't see any. It has to be part, which I'm perfectly fine with, and as long as it's in the ordinance. They don't listen to us. They don't talk to us. They don't say nothing to us. We applied this license 2.5 years ago, and we haven't heard a word from them since. You know, the large companies, they take these licenses. Like, it's like they make. This is how they would do it. They know the townships don't know anything. They know the residents don't know anything, and that's how they sneak these licenses out their feet. With these, you know, they're coming out with regulations next week for this. Like, why? You know, it's like we were approached by a Chinese company to buy us out. We would have to take 49%. They would take 51%. They were willing to pay for all fees, take care of the whole license pretty much, get it handed to us. Because we were in there, you know, it's a Chinese company, they need a New Jersey resident. They saw our application and were impressed. So, you know, we're not going for that. We're not going for just, you know, trying to put a company in there, trying to turn this place into, you know. Jeff Brown, the director of the CRC, has clearly stated that the 2019 applicant, in his last meeting, he stated, the first thing he stated is the 2019 RFAs, which is what we're part of, is their number one priority. Cannabis businesses have been operating in New Jersey since 2010. Like, the first license was in Montclair. They've been operating since then. Other than the White House Walmart, has anyone ever heard of any problems with any one of these licenses? Like, anyone, you know, over the last 11 years they've been operating? I have a friend who couldn't be here. Of course, he works for the company, and he didn't feel comfortable talking publicly. And he told me, it's, you know, the place is, it's a, the structure is non-insulated structure. They have holes in their ceilings. The HVAC, they're running off of Walmart HVAC. I mean, if you go there now, you can see all the equipment they have sitting outside to remedy this problem, which could have been done from day one. I'm not going to beat up on the owners. It's a billion, of course, a multi-billion dollar company, Verano. You guys can look it up if you want. I'm not going to beat them up because the 2019 applications that they won did not have an odor control plan, did not have an economic, you know, plan for your, you know, for your environment plan, you name it, noise control. They didn't have all this stuff. Ours did. And that's why, you know, we went very specific. I mean, I don't know if you guys got the pamphlet that we created for you guys. I have some copies of them over here if you guys, that describes our water retention issue, any water retention issues, odor issues, you know, our setbacks are far away. No one sees us. My best friend lives across the street. I'm not going to do nothing to, you know, hurt him. You know, that's one thing. The main reason cannabis is not federally legal yet is because they can't control it. These guys, these manufacturers who are, you know, these big companies, they're worried about the cash flow. They're pumping these different strains in the same room, different, that they require different climates. They don't care. They're putting them in a room, make as much as you can, sell as much as you can. We went a complete different way with this, where it's more of like a research company. We didn't go, in 2019, they came up with a 60,000 square foot facility or a 20,000 square foot facility, which, you know, it's the same amount of fees, the same licenses, everything. We did not go for a 60,000. We could have. We have the space. But we went for a smaller one because we're not trying to make it like a, you know, just pump it out. That's not our goal with this. most facilities, you know, they are just worried about that. With us, we broke down strains into different rooms to actually record data. We have a contract preview where they have sensors now built in each plant that actually tells us, you know, overwatering, from that to, you know, diseases. I mean, it's like a science now. So it's no longer like, of course, there's going to be the companies, especially the big ones, that only care about the money, and it's not for us. You know, we could have done a lot more with our money. You know, so that's one thing that is very important in this to us. You know, we have, like, we're not trying to open a cannabis retailing. We're not trying to sell to the public. There's nothing. That's not us. You know, no signs, no anything. Like, you wouldn't, you know, other than what that property looks like now, it might look cleaner now after this. But nothing more than that to you guys. You know, gated off community. We're going to have our own security. I've talked to the police department when I came in 2019. You know, assured with that. You know, they saw my plan. They saw my application. And, you know, I made sure that everyone feels comfortable with this. It's not like I just went out, you know, I'm just here to make some money because I found, trust me, there's a lot of properties out there. I picked this one for a reason, and it's, you know, has a lot of potential to it. Our goal is to provide the product to medical facilities only, you know, licensed, authorized people, dealers in the state, which, you know, you guys first don't want to sell, you know, have a dispensary. That's perfectly fine. It's not, we're not trying to, you know, sell it in this town as it is. If we are fortunate enough to be awarded a license in the state of New Jersey, we would create a lot of local jobs, we would bring the tax revenue into this town, and we will be that good neighbor. You know, we want to be an asset to the community and not the other way around. You know, thank you for your time, guys. I hope you guys respectfully respect and support us with developing this property and giving its potential that it's, you know, it is. But thank you. I'll take any questions.
I have one question.
Sure.
This has been talked about for 6-8 months. Why on the 11th and a half hour are you sitting here?
Last time we spoke, I thought cultivation would be okay with this town. So I didn't even think twice. I was not here on the 7th. We were actually out of the country. And I just do my research every month. Since 2019, once a month, I'll go on the computer and I'll start doing research. And that's when I found out, I think 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I found out that, you know, we have a problem. That's when we started, you know, I contacted Mr. Gruenberg, Roger Marion, to try to figure out how we could fix this. And it's not like we want to, you know, we understand there's a deadline on the, you know, 2 days from now. And I understand where you guys are at, where you don't want to get stuck with it, opting in for all these licenses, you know. And that's why I recommended to them today also. I was like, we just need the medical cultivation. We don't need recreational cultivation. We don't need anything on that. You know, we just need that ordinance to accept our medical cultivation. Because another issue is, you know, they said, you know, we could change the ordinance later. It doesn't help us. September 20th, they're issuing out another license. And, you know, if we don't get this, which is only two licenses they're giving out, we need to try for the next one to just recuperate our funds that we put into this. So, you know, even issuing a new ordinance next week is not going to help us, because it won't give us enough time for the September 20th application if we don't get this one.
Any other comments from the committee? If not, thank you very much for your comments.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Please come forward, state your name, the road you live on.
Yes. All right. My name is Hugh Giordano, 57 Argyle Avenue, Blackwood, New Jersey. I'm here today as a representative of the United Food and Commercial Workers Union, UFCW. The UFCW is a national labor union of 1.3 million hardworking families, and we're the official labor union that represents cannabis workers from seed to sale, both medical and adult use, under the guise of the AFL-CIO. We're also working directly with our union brothers and sisters in the building trades, IBEW, steam fitters, carpenters, because they will be doing the build-out and retrofit of facilities. The adult use bill, S21, is very clear about labor standards, and we have some of the best in the country. In fact, Virginia and Connecticut just, and I'm happy to say, stole our language because it does create good jobs. We currently represent medical facilities here in New Jersey. These jobs come with a living wage, health care, sick time, vacation time, paternity leave, vacation, and retirement, and other training and educational benefits that don't come with part-time Kohl's or 7-Eleven jobs. These are careers, no different than being an iron worker or a carpenter. They provide middle-class jobs, not low-end, low-wage jobs. On top of that, most of these folks that work in these facilities are educated, have degrees in botany, horticulture, chemistry. Even some of our retail dispensaries, our unionized facilities, they have pharmacists. So it attracts a high-income young worker. We oppose this ordinance. It's a direct attack on workers. There's no two ways about it. It's attack jobs. Specifically when the Medical Cannabis Act, the Jake Tonick Act, had labor language in it as well. So this has been more than just a 6- or 8-month conversation. This has been a 2019 conversation and has been a huge political conversation. The city of Bayonne, 4 months ago, passed an ordinance, lays out application fees, renewal fees, what types of licenses they want, how many licenses they want, which ones they don't want. And they have a merit-based application system, which looks at standards such as labor standards. If they fought workers' rights in Illinois, they're going to fight workers' rights here. Environmental standards. If they polluted and used illegal pesticides and herbicides in Colorado, they're going to do it here. It also has, the merit-based system has standards for local ownership, to make sure that we protect folks who actually live and work here. It has security standards as well, the Bayonne ordinance. Are they going to hire retired police officers? Are unionized facilities to do that? On top of that, the security standards are already pretty tight. The video cameras have to have, by law, 30-day backup. They were going directly to the Department of Health, now going directly to the state police. It's better than a bank. It's better than a Rite Aid or a CVS. It's not an all-cash business like everybody thinks. They're currently using debit cards in these facilities too. So there's a lot happening here. And it's sad to see that these jobs are going to be lost. It really is. Montclair adopted the Bayonne Ordinance. Highland Park adopted the Bayonne Ordinance. Bass River adopted the Bayonne Ordinance. All different communities, all different types of people, and they did it. So it can be done. It was done. So I'm not really sure what the reasoning was why we came to this to opt out of everything, specifically when we do have folks here that are applying on the medical. And I've seen other ordinances around the state, because it's my job to do that, that do have language in there that says that this ordinance does not prohibit medical. So I do think it would be intelligent to do that, as to protect any type of applicant that has a current application in. That way you know that at least that's not happening, because the state is the state. Let's be honest about this. We're heavily involved with the CRC. We're heavily involved with the regulations. We're heavily involved with these employers. And it would be a shame to see Lebanon Township lose out on good union jobs from shovel to sale, not just seed to sale, shovel to sale. So we would hope that you would table this ordinance and, in fact, promote a one similar to the city of Bayonne, and make sure that you have a merit-based application system, because the reality of it is that most of these facilities that are coming from Canada, these are global operations now, exporting to Europe and exporting from South America as well. Colombia just started doing it a couple weeks ago. So thank you very much, and on behalf of the UFCW, the AFL-CIO, and the building trades, we oppose this ordinance. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, sir. Please come forward, say the name, the road you live on, or town.
Hello, everyone. My name is V. Cassoni, and I'm from Bridgewater. I'm on the board of the NAR Group. And I wanted to go off of what he was saying. You know, I don't know if you guys seen the Flemington Township ordinance. They specifically stated they don't want retail in their community, which, you know, is a good thing in certain cases, you know. However, they did grant 2 cultivation licenses, because they know that'll bring a lot of business. Like Nitin was saying, this is a big job. That site needs a lot of work. all the laborers we would use to build that are local, or the, you know, it has to be people from New Jersey. And the state is promoting that to us when we did the application, that use New Jersey residents as your employees. Don't go out of state, you know, and the build out just alone would bring so much revenue to the township, you know, even to the locals. I just wanted to point that out. Looking at that Flemington ordinance is, I think, a good thing, because you can see that, you know, they didn't want to do something that was going to impact the community. That's why they kept retail out, but they let the cultivation go in, and that's what we're asking for. Any questions?
Thank you very much. Any other member of the public who would like to make a comment related to Ordinance 2021-07, cannabis? Please state your name, the road you live on.
Hi, Sharon Petzinger, 320 Dogwood Drive. I'm here representing my family. So whether we like it or not, cannabis is legal. There's nothing we can do about it. I'm not that crazy about it, but people are going to be able to have it delivered to their homes in Lebanon Township. That's just how it is. So when I think about that, I really, it doesn't matter to me if we allow retail, allow medical or anything like that in our township, because it's already going to be here. I don't know if you guys went to the Warren County Fair, but I did with my nieces and nephew and son, ages 3 to 12, and there were two cannabis tents there, and they had bright colors and music and lights and signage and free samples, and I'm thinking, I do not want this in my kid's face or my nieces and nephew's face, wherever they go in the township. So while I don't mind if it's sold or grown or whatever in our township, I just want to make sure that if it, you don't pass this ordinance and you decide to opt in, which is fine, I'm fine with that, that you just have some control over the signage. You know, I don't want things like if we allow micro-businesses or in the future micro-businesses are allowed to pop up, I just don't want cannabis signs to become as common as eggs or honey for sale in the township. So that's all. That's all I have to say.
Thank you very much. Any other public comment related to Ordinance 2021-07, cannabis? Seeing no other comments, is there a motion to close the public comment?
I'll make a motion to close public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. So,
a point of clarification.
Yes,
for the township committee. The confluence of the law, both Kuma and Crema, recreational and medical, makes some of this thought process or activity difficult. But it's clear that in 2011, the state through the Agricultural Development Committee defined medicinal cannabis as a crop. They did that. It's not for us to do that. It's also, we are, again, to repeat, we are exercising discretion granted to us under the recreational law. We were not given the authority or discretion under the Compassionate Care Act. So therefore, we don't have any authority to take action in that regard. We are not taking action in that regard because clearly it is outside our jurisdiction. And clearly there is a process, there is a separate process and a separate standard with regard to the medicinal cultivation, the entire integrated process from growth to transaction. And obviously there is a process in place where grow license, the ability to cultivate was regulated by the state because cannabis patients have been getting product for years now, it is coming from within state. It's important to note that CREMA, the Recreational Act, defines states that cannabis does not include medical cannabis dispensed to registered patients pursuant to the Compassionate Care Act. I know it's very difficult, and the things are similar, but they are. It is a very different. Statutory construction, recreational versus versus the recreational. We have, again, based on the agricultural zone and the state ag board, that's one situation. The action we're considering tonight, again, is grounded completely in CREMA, the Recreational Act, because that's the only authority we have been granted to create this. And we are not we have no ability to take action under the Compassionate Care Act. So I just want to clear that up and restate that once again. And again, to make it known that CREMA includes that definition. And the fact that state law defines cannabis one way and medical cannabis in another way, of course, can lead to confusion, understandably. But those statutory definitions, quite frankly, would have been helpful if they used more differentiation, so to speak. But that license procedure that's been underway for many years now is a separate process. So, and the only other thing is, one of the things was talked about, we're all well aware of the deadlines. We've talked about it at many meetings now. But related to that is that the lack of action particular to class one. And again, the definitions of the classes as represented in paragraph one, come straight from, and it's referenced right in there, that it is CREMA, which again, for ease of reference, the Recreational Act. It's clearly stated in our ordination that's what we are doing. But again, the state has drawn that distinction with regard to definition, and the failure to act, deadlines aside, results in the class one under CREMA being permitted in industrial zones, as we've discussed before. So, and again, the Township Committee has discussed at these meetings the deadlines and the impacts and that. But again, that I just wanted to clear up that we are not taking action under CREMA. I mean under the Compassionate Care Act.
So could I just clarify? Because having been on this committee for a number of years, but not being an attorney, it's been my understanding that it's not necessarily good form to clarify what the ordinance does not deal with. It's to be as clear as you can as to what it does deal with. And my reading of this has been that it deals with recreational. So the proposal that we add a clause that clarifies what it does not deal with, is that recommended, or would that be useful, or is that...
It's simply a statement of objective fact, but it does, again, we don't have the jurisdiction or authority. It's clear what we are regulating, and it's spelled out, it's delineated properly, precisely. And the thing is again, there's a lot of other things we're not regulating. That's also, I just got done saying that the competing state laws, not competing, but the parallel state laws do lend to confusion by neighbors, applicants, everybody else. But we are, from start to finish, we make it clear, the six marketplace classes only exist in CREMA. They don't exist in the Compassionate Care Act. To argue that we are taking action, A, that we don't have the authority to do, and B, that's not that clearly we don't reference is. I don't know that there's any need to additionally clarify that. But
well, first of all, I read the anatomy of an ordinance, and it says if you go back and start amending things at this point, you have to go back and start over again. If we start over again, 818 is gone, 821 is gone, all six categories will be allowed.
Well, you state the general law of ordinance correctly, that any significant change would require a reintroduction.
And that's significant to me. When it was said, that's significant. It's and what's the meaning of the word it?
No, and the thing is that again, it I think it's very clear on its face that we're not regulating Compassionate Care Act activity. We don't have the authority to do so. We're not attempting to do so. We're not bootstrapping it in. Again, the state has made it clear that medical cannabis is a crop, and they treat cannabis, with non-medical cannabis, more as a as an industrial product, as a widget, as something that requires a different review and a different approach. So, I don't see an interpretation where this is an attempt to regulate activity under the Compassionate Care Act.
Now, I also heard, and you might, when it comes to medical cannabis versus recreational cannabis, on farm-assessed land, on state-preserved land, I understood it to be that you can only grow hemp. I didn't know that they split medical cannabis from recreational cannabis on either of those types of categories.
There's enforcement of that. It's highly regulated, as everybody has said, what you can and can't do. I don't want to go into that without. But point being taken that not only it's not just enough to review is it or is it not farmland. You have to because there's questions of where if it were preserved, where the funding came from, federal versus state. And again, it's a very fact sensitive situation. But again, there are issues with regard to Compassionate Care Act applications with regard to preserved property. But, again, that's not before us tonight, but just to answer your question.
Thanks.
So is it your position that because our ordinance is going to regulate is not going to regulate medical use of cannabis, that our ordinance does not impact this property?
That won't impact the property. Let's say it won't impact a pending application to cultivate medicinal marijuana. All your years of land. Of course, when we take action of general application like this, it affects every property in town. But with regard to the facts as presented, it's no better or no worse with regard to a Compassionate Care Act application because of that distinction in definitions and the lack of authority and discretion granted to us by the state. So,
I
really don't have anything further to say unless there's a question from Township Committee.
I believe the couple of issues behind the committee's decision. My understanding of the committee's decision to introduce a ban on all six classes was, as I believe stated earlier, the state hasn't released the regulations backing up the law. And so if we don't opt out, then by definition, well, by statute, we're opting in to the state regulations that we don't even know what they are. And so specific to cultivation, we reviewed that with the planning board and other experts, and there's no way for us to know what the water usage would be, and we're a town with no public water. What would be the impact on neighbors' aquifer levels and the like? So class by class, we're put in a position by the state of asking to potentially allow whatever they're going to propose in the coming weeks and years. It'll be modified. And so the judgment of this committee was, at this time, we need to opt out because the state can't tell us what we're being asked to opt into. And as the rules come out, and that's as a number of comments had said, we have a right and ability to opt back in, but the state has made it not at a level playing field. If we don't opt out, we can't change anything for 5 years. If we opt out, we can, and then we learn the rules, we can opt back in. So I'm of the opinion, and I have to rely, of course, on the attorney's advice, that my intention all the way along was nothing here precludes the Compassionate Care Act. Does it make sense to say that nothing precludes it when nothing does preclude it? I'm not sure that we need to say it based on what I'm hearing from the attorney, and that's, I believe, what we were asked to do, just to clarify that point. But if it reads clearly to me, we only reference the six licensed classes of recreational cannabis. Any other comments?
I don't want any amendments, not at this late hour.
I would contradict that if I thought what you and the mayor said was incorrect. And you know, we were aware of this deadline, and we are aware of this deadline. And again, there could be a laundry list of things that people would want added that we're not touching. It certainly is unnecessary because it simply states the clear letter of the law surrounding what we're doing. We are doing a narrow piece that we were given the authority to do, and we're taking action that we were granted the authority to take.
Yeah, that's what the opt-out is. It's all recreational.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they asked us for, to make a decision on recreational.
Right.
Any other comments or discussion from the committee? Or is anyone ready to make a motion to adopt Ordinance 2021-07 relating to the opt-out of cannabis licensing in Lebanon Township?
I'll make a motion to adopt Ordinance 2021-07 to opt out of cannabis, all classes in the township.
Recreational.
Oh, well, no, I'm just saying what it is here. It doesn't say it that way.
Sure. Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Thank you very much. And clearly, it was no intention to impact, and we don't believe we've impacted your license, but that's what courts and others are for.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
So, the next ordinance before us is Ordinance 2021-08 signs. We've also. The background on this has also been discussed at a couple of meetings now, and the township has an existing ordinance related to political signs, and it came to our attention, as was noted in the minutes in 2016, that it's a defective ordinance in the sense that the courts have ruled it would violate people's First Amendment constitutional rights. The committee has moved on a couple of occasions to not enforce the ordinance that's currently on the books, and so given that we're in between elections at this time and we were opening up chapter 400 of our ordinance, we introduced an ordinance to amend our political sign ordinance in a way that we felt the advice of the attorney would stand up, would meet the different court settlements around the state. Now, before we open to public comment, and Ms. Kohler just said we can't modify any ordinance, I actually did want to suggest if we made a couple of clarification changes to the actual text. One is just the smallest typo, which I believe we can do. So if you have the ordinance in front of you under number two, so it starts with...
Just procedurally, are we going to open first, or
what I understood we needed to do is to tell the public a couple of modifications and then open for public comment. I thought in the past that's what you had advised us, so
okay.
The public can comment on the actual version that we would potentially vote on.
Well, just to be clear, if that's going to happen, there would have to be a review of that to determine that the extent of it, and there would have to be a motion by the committee to allow
yes,
that.
I wanted to propose right. It, and then we'll need a motion to adopt any or all of the potential changes, and then we would go to public.
Are any of these changes significant?
That's what we'll decide.
So he's got to decide that, I think, from a legal perspective.
So let me tell you, the first one I can't imagine is, so if you follow along, so it's open, close, parentheses 1, then A, parentheses, then 1, 2, parentheses. It says temporary political signs, maybe. There needs to be a space between maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a typo.
That one we can agree on.
That one we can
agree on. It's a different word. It's
exactly.
Clearly meant to be.
Yeah.
It was
meant to
be.
Then, based on discussions over the past couple of weeks, I would... Should we do motion one by one? Should we do a motion to...
Sure, let's get the easy one out of the way.
Get that one out. So would there be a motion to amend the text to correct the typo that was just mentioned, turning maybe into maybe by adding a space?
And I'll say for the record, before you consider it, that I don't believe that is in any way substantive, and it's de minimis and can be changed.
What are we doing, one by one?
Yes, we can do one by one.
You'd rather do them all at once?
I'd rather do them all at once.
Okay. Then we'll just record separate. Well,
I'd propose we do one by one so that if we have a disagreement that one is okay, one is not okay, we just have it one by one. I don't. But if there's no motion to do that, then we'll gather it up. Is there a motion to change maybe to maybe? Okay, hearing none. The next that I would propose would be, based on discussions with residents and the like, continuing that line. So it says temporary political signs may be placed on municipal property. Question came up, the town has right-of-way along all the roads. Is the right-of-way considered municipal property? As a clarification, as I asked the attorney, a right-of-way is a right associated with private property, but it does potentially create confusion. So the clarification that I would ask whether it is a meaningful change or not would be to clarify, may be placed on municipal property, not including the right-of-way associated with private property, and then continue on. So just insert those words. Any discussion?
Well, I'll tell you, that sounds like it affects number three, but I could be misunderstanding.
And send this back to the joint board.
Well, that'll be the vote that comes up after the public hearing.
Mm.
All right.
I would need to address that only because if you do that, which is certainly the township committee's prerogative, is that we should continue.
Open it to the public.
Oh, that's fine. I'll just, if we table it, I'll speak to it when it's tabled.
As a legal matter, would you believe that that clarification is a significant change? There's a question of whether the committee believes it's a.
If we're going to do a bunch of these, let's. If there's
one more after this.
Okay. Well, if there's just to get through, if there's a motion and a sec, if this is going to be considered, I'll run through it.
Okay. Then let me give my third, and we can discuss it. The third was more to simplify. So, if you notice at the start of the italicized text, it defines temporary political signs are defined as pertaining to various elections, candidates, or questions. In number 7 on the second side, we lost questions, and it just says signs for candidates shall be removed. I thought it would be helpful to clarify signs, temporary political signs, using the definition up front, shall be removed, so that question signs would also need to be removed. No later than 14 days after the date of the election in which the candidate or question was considered for vote. And then, as we've heard in a number of conversations, the distinction between signs that have to be removed in 14 days versus signs that have to be removed after 10 days is a bit confusing. I would propose that we strike the in case of primary elections, signs of all candidates who fail to remain, the rest of that section, if we strike that, for the public who may be who is interested in this, we're going to the lesser standard of they have 14 days to remove rather than 10 days to remove. And I would ask the attorney whether that is also a change that could be made without republishing, because it puts the public in a better position rather than a more restricted position. So those are the couple of changes that I wanted to offer for the committee's consideration.
I mean, doesn't this tell you it's not ready for prime time yet, and we should just, for now?
That's the vote coming up. If there's no motion to make these changes?
I mean, it seems like we're rewriting just a lot of the meat. At the public hearing, not even at the introduction. And then we talked about it in between the introduction and the public hearing.
Yep. Okay, if there's no motion or other discussion, then those proposals die. And we move on to the public hearing. Unless anyone has any further questions, comments? We would now open the public hearing on Ordinance 2021-08, an ordinance amending Chapter 400-13, entitled Signs of the Municipal Code. Is there a motion to open the public hearing?
I'll make a motion to open the public hearing.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. This time, if any member of the public would like to, please come forward, state your name, the road you live on.
Daryl Schmidt, 226 Musconetcon. I was at the last meeting, and this all stemmed from possible lawsuits by the ACLU. And after listening to the attorney here, this ordinance, correct me if I'm wrong, is his best shot at making something that may withstand a lawsuit. But then he says anything could be possibly litigated, although it's never been done in the township with our existing law in the last 20 years, that anything could be done, even this one. And the only way to get out of it, where there's no lawsuit, is not to have an ordinance at all. Okay? I drive the township roads right now. I see Trump 2024 signs out there. I see banners, which are not covered by this. And whatever. That's political free speech. Okay? I see anybody but Murphy out there. That's political free speech. The definition between free speech and a political sign seems to be very blurry, as per what I took away from what he explained the last meeting. I don't see anything wrong with the existing one. It seemed to work for the most part. In my opinion, I'd get them off of township property. Nobody's allowed to have a sign on township property, but that's your decision to make. And no ordinance, to me, sounds like the way to go. Because I see political signs all over the place today. For the future, is it a political statement? Is it not? Perhaps in a gentleman's agreement for the candidates, that after 7 days after it's over, you're not bound to take your sign down, but it's a decent thing to do. We live in Lebanon Township, and it's a good community. You lost, be a gentleman and take your own signs down. Because the way I understand it, the only one that is impervious to a lawsuit is no ordinance at all. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Any other member of the public that would like to make a comment on the sign ordinance?
I agree with him.
Please come up and state your name.
Julie Lane. I'm sorry, was that not audible?
Okay. It's for the recording. You have to.
Yes.
That doesn't always pick up.
Hi, my name is Lisa. I live on Dewey Lane. I agree with what he just said. I mean, what I don't understand, too, is what is the true intent of changing the existing ordinance? You know, I mean, I've heard you speak in a couple of different meetings. You know, you were concerned about electioneering and other matters being followed properly.
I can address that, okay. I believe. I don't know completely, but the genesis of this back in
2016.
Thank you. I mean, it was a 16 or 17. Before I was here,
2016.
Was the existing ordinance was too restrictive. That by placing time limits, which 85 or 90% of towns in New Jersey did, we were limiting people's First Amendment free speech mm-hmm. of political speech, which okay. is the highest protected.
Okay.
And that's how this started. What the township committee did was take piecemeal action year after year to not utilize that 30-day restriction because towns in other – larger towns with some combative politics, local politics, right. It became a lawsuit issue and it cropped up. So we were on alert. And the intent of this is simply to get out of the year to year. It's really not good practice to have something on the books that's too restrictive and to simply year after year say, put it on hold. It's most appropriate for us to take some type of final overall action. No ordinance at all is actually of it is a possibility. The only thing is that leads to absolutely no, you know, size and frequency and things like that where neighbors then complain. But the other thing is the one thing that is clear, and I think we discussed this at intro, is the one thing we do have the absolute right to do is to not allow it on municipally owned. Outright municipally owned property.
Sure.
Not right of ways, but the theme, not the theme, but
it had been expressed to me, or I became aware, that we have a longstanding tradition where that does occur. We are allowed to allow it to happen, but it's a single place where we can absolutely ban it, because then it applies to everybody, and nobody gets to put signs on the township property.
Sure, and that's what Mr. Schmidt said, and whatever else he said after that, as far as having a gentleman's agreement after the fact, if he lost. I mean, we live in Lebanon Township. It's a nice community, and like I said, I agree with what Mr. Schmidt said. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comments? Please state your name, the road you live on.
Guy Wilson, 158 Mount Grove Road. I had a question for the attorney. I think you may have answered it. When you said it, we could ban them from municipal property, but not from easements, right of ways?
No, I didn't say the second part. What I'm saying is we clearly have the ability. Let me clarify. We clearly have the ability to ban them on property we own outright. The right-of-way question is more nuanced, because the property owner, of course, has certain rights there also. And as long as it's not in a sight line, it's possible to not be in a sight line but be in the right-of-way. And that is a more difficult thing to ban outright, and that's one of the things the mayor wanted to clarify, is the distinction between going in the middle of the park where everybody gathers and putting your signs in, and my neighbor wants to put my sign up because I'm running, and it technically, I mean, most people don't even know where the right-of-way begins and ends at the front of their property. So it's a distinct issue where the full rights are fee simple, outright owned property by the township, I should say.
What about something like a conservation easement that might be a benefit to the township? Somebody wanted to place a sign on an area that was...
Well, we're considering, or it's been our practice to allow that, but that would be a conservation easement. It would be more akin to a property we owned fee simple outright. We did, you know, and that we could prohibit it. The problem with the allowing it, and again, I understand in a lot of towns this is done, candidate agreement and everybody's respectful and whatnot, but you know the right to place signs, political signs, on municipal owned property, once created, is everybody's right. It's not just the two people who are running for local office and things of that nature. It's questions. And the other, to go back to another thing, one of the things that's bringing this up is you can't click on a news site or NJ.com and not hear about two neighbors who are in a battle about one's flag and one sign and whose sign has profanity and whose sign they disagree with. And as it was stated by Mr. Schmidt, you know, if someone's going to express a right regarding the 2024 election, that's clearly political speech. I mean, it's clearly the most sacred free speech right we have in this country.
So that if the township committee did not have an ordinance whatsoever, that would not prevent somebody from taking a sign and putting lights on it and sparklers and all hours of the day and night? We couldn't prevent that. Is that correct, that there was no ordinance?
You may tread into other regulations, you know, other land use regulation potentially, but it certainly has that's a certain possibility. And again, it's not just a possibility. There are places where this is happening, where I put up a 4-square sign, my neighbor puts up an 8-square sign, and then I put up a 12-square sign.
Where does it stop?
Yeah, that's what happens. But again, I think Mr. Schmidt correctly stated, for us, for the township committee, and there's treatises and there's cases where some towns just say, you know, the way to not get sued is, but then you, again, as Mr. Wilson said, then you have to be prepared for all the consequences, which are, you know, at some point it becomes
it's still expressing free speech, but at what point does my right to express that speech impinge upon my neighbor's right to enjoy their property?
And this would not in any way affect commercial speech, commercial signs.
No, no. You know, obviously much more leeway to regulate that as a municipality.
Just as an example, I used to be on the Califon Planning Board years ago, and there was an application before the board where a Lebanon Township business who owned property across the street in Califon Borough wanted to put a finger pointing in the direction of the store, and it was turned down by the board. Now, that you can do because that's regulated commercial speech. And not only that, it would have been looked like, I don't want to say the word. Thank you.
Any other public comment related to the sign ordinance?
One more. Darrell Schmidt, 226. And two, after all this, I just got four property tax bills that went up quite a lot, to my surprise. And I realize a lot of it's the schools. But how much is this costing us, this, rewriting it and everything else?
Any other comments from the public? Seeing none, is there a motion to close public comment?
Lisa raised her hand.
Oh, sorry.
My name is Lisa. I live on Dewey Lane. And again, I agree with what Mr. Schmidt just said. Not only time, but money. Money and time. Time is money. I agree with what he just said, too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Can we clarify that? Because I think there's a misunderstanding. And I mean, Karen can speak to the publication cost, but...
Is this part of the retainer?
Yeah, it is. Okay, I mean, just about everything we do. I mean,
well, if you look in your contract, it's like complex ordinances are not part. I don't know if this is getting.
This was not. This was not. Cannabis was not. So, no, it does not. I
falls under the retainer.
Yeah, it's
the agreement says we approve items that get.
I have to come to you.
The retainer.
And I have to come to and or you can come to me and say.
I believe the publication costs. Since we're asking that, approximately.
It depends on the length of the ordinance.
$50, $100.
Yeah, probably closer. Okay,
$80 to $100. So we're still in open public comment. So.
Danger.
$25.
I just was going to say, it depends on what paper you put it. If you put it in the Courier News, you're going to pay $100. It's nominal as opposed to some review. 100 review, if you can get it in on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any other public comment? If not, is there a motion to close public comment?
Make a motion to close the public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. So, just to respond to a couple of the comments, the reason that I believe we should clarify our ordinance is that while it costs $80 to $100 to, and of course the time of our professionals, we have paid professionals here as well that are debating this over a couple of meetings, is that it's much more expensive, as we mentioned. You know, a couple of years ago, we had our peddler's license challenged, and we had a company come and say, we believe it's unconstitutional. We reviewed and said, yeah, we're going to lose. We're going to lose if we fight it. They said, you pay us our fees, and I think for $10,000 or so, they went away. So it's not free to leave a defective ordinance on the books. We can make a motion that we're not going to enforce the ordinance. Then we have no, as was stated in some of the discussion here. Somebody can put up a 4-foot sign. The neighbor can put up a 12-foot sign, a 12-foot square sign. Then we can get a 60-foot square sign, and we have nothing to rely on except the good neighborliness of neighbors, which maybe that's what we want to rely on. So that was the thought behind trying to clarify and correct a defective ordinance that's on the books. I would suggest if we don't pass the ordinance, we should probably have a motion to suspend enforcement of the existing ordinance just to make sure that we don't get somebody, you know, fishing for a settlement fee. And then we could set up a subcommittee of this committee to draft an ordinance you know, the committee doesn't have to approve that. We can just let the whole topic die if that's the view of the ordinance of the committee. But I would suggest we, if we don't pass the ordinance that's been introduced, that we try to fix it.
Let me ask you this. I feel like it's gotten convoluted and away from the defective part of this.
Okay.
So I relate. Is every single statement that's in here, did you write every single requirement?
I mean, this again predates me. I mean, this is a discussion that began, and I mean, I take authorship of it. Yeah.
So you wrote, no temporary political signs may be placed within a distance of 3 feet of any street. That was your idea.
Well, again, I this is trying to review what has been acceptable, and there's no. This is the gold standard. We agree to this. We'll never challenge
this.
But
you wrote it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, you are.
Well, what I'm trying to say is I compiled it from other existing ones that had been subject to challenge, and quite frankly, it's a camel.
Mm-hmm.
It's parts from here and parts from there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not trying to, and the thing is with consideration that we're not one of these large towns with that has a different political landscape. Mm-hmm. I'll just leave it at that. So,
well, I mean, I'll just give you a fine example. I remember, and I'm not attacking you, but I had taken notes, and you were saying the objective is to not limit the speech to the point where the individual feels aggrieved. I'll tell you personally, I'm on the road. I have a flower bed. It's right at the end of the driveway. It's not 3 feet from the road. And it's this sign, this thing is saying a distance of 3 feet from any street means I have to put those signs on my front lawn behind bushes, basically, and a big tree.
Okay.
So nobody's going to see it. So I feel aggrieved.
Okay, well, that's a good point. But my intent was is that, or my consideration was, A, that had been found acceptable in other lawsuit towns, and B, it made sense to me that within 3 feet of the street presents the high probability of obstructing someone's site at some point. Maybe not your site, but your neighbor goes to pull out. Everybody's driveway is configured differently. So that was the thought. And you're right. There's, as we always do these things, there's, well, if this, then that, and if that, then this, and so on and so forth. But the genesis of where that came from in other towns where it was litigated was it's a reasonable restriction because it has another purpose. The purpose is not to shut down speech. It's to say, you know, as a reasonable basis, there most signs within 3 feet of the street present the possibility of obscuring somebody's vision at some point. So, you know, but again, I understand the uniqueness. We have a lot of unique characteristics that we share with a lot of towns in the county, but not in other counties that are where a lot of this litigation occurs.
Right, in the more dense counties.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, none of those towns even consider at any point public actual fully owned public property being the source of this because they would have thousands of signs on it. They wouldn't have seven. They would have and they own hundreds of acres. Well, we own a lot of property, but you know what I'm saying. So a lot of times, you know, we don't fit any cookie cutter. So the attempt was to cherry pick things that could withstand challenge and accomplish something for the public good.
I
didn't consider what you're talking about, and you're right. And the other thing is, a lot of ours, it may be 700 feet from your driveway to your neighbor's driveway. The only person's vision it's going to obstruct is yours, mm-hmm. or the delivery person that comes out of your driveway. So
I think about, too, like, I mean, hypothetical lawsuits. You know how people are. They'll sue for anything.
Well, they'll sue for this because this is an impassioned issue, and, you know, and it clearly is more ripe now in 2020 than it's ever been.
But more about the timing issue. It's the 30 days.
Yeah, the 30 days that's
let's go back and fix our current ordinance and just take out that piece or something. So
well, we could certainly do that. We could certainly repeal the existing ordinance while you do whatever diligence wants to be done. Again, that's the genesis was to allow more speech, not to regulate speech more restrictively.
I just want to read one other thing. 1998 U.S. Supreme Court ruled that the display of political and other types of sign on residential property is unique, important, and protected means of communication, and towns cannot restrict the display of such signs. And they mentioned in the article that said private property is more sacred than other forms of media since it is associated with the owner of the property.
That's the genesis of where most of the ACLU litigation comes from, is that mm-hmm. case.
So we fix whatever the ACL issue. And with this other stuff, I don't know. So where do we
what go? I'm curious what you take out of there, get rid of, or don't want in there, because the old one has a lot more restrictions.
I think we have to look at it again. I think we have to start and look at it again. Because it's gotten so convoluted, we've been talking about this now for three meetings and trying to make substantial changes, in my opinion, in this meeting when it's a public hearing already. It just tells me it's disjointed, and now we're getting almost off topic on it.
Well, we've concluded the public hearing.
Yes.
There were no motions, so there were no successful motions.
Mm-hmm.
So we're considering what's presented, as is, up, down, table, whatever it may be, and whatever subsequent action may be either required or recommended, we'll deal with once the township committee votes. But mm-hmm. Again, we need a permanent solution, and that's up to the township committee to decide if it's simply to repeal the existing, whether it's to enact this, or whether it's to start from scratch. And at least while that process, it would be I'll give my recommendation. You guys do what you need to do, and then I'll say what we do if, and otherwise we'll be here all night.
Yeah, my own view is that there are enough issues with this resolution that it would make sense at this point in time to table it and set up a subcommittee and look at what really is necessary to deal with the ACLU issue and reformulate this thing appropriately.
Any other committee discussion? Is there a motion to adopt ordinance number 2021-08 entitled Signs? Hearing no motion, the ordinance fails.
If it's not moved.
Yeah, there's no motion to move it. So should we deal with a motion to consider
temporary suspend chapter 400 zoning temporary signs section, whatever that full section is.
I would recommend that, but I would strongly also recommend that some path of permanent action be considered and underway.
Let's take that in two motions then. First, recommend that we suspend the existing motion or the existing ordinance 400-13. As we've done in the past.
And again, just to be clear, that suspension only lasts from now till 12/31, to the end of the year.
Yep.
And that's why it is not a permanent solution.
And then we'll discuss and have a motion to set up a subcommittee to draft a permanent solution, or propose a permanent solution.
I would propose that we all, before we vote on that, read the current ordinance before we suspend it, because I'm thinking, with election season coming up, what if there's something in that ordinance that we need to...
We have to suspend it. We can't edit it. We have to suspend it. That's the only option we have at this point.
Is that the only option?
It to leave it in place requires the enforcement officer to enforce it. He doesn't have the authority to interpret what we have on the books. Does that happen in towns? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I understand.
I don't want to say it.
But that's every town.
Yeah.
That's every town. There's limited resources and whatnot. But again, it's not, it will, to have that timeline in place does present issues that present exposure to us.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's enforced, that's going to be the trigger.
Okay, so here's my dilemma. This is the thing. It's going to take a good 6 weeks to go from a subcommittee. We form a subcommittee tonight. They have to look at that old ordinance, discuss it, come with a proposal. Then from there it goes to introduction. Then from there it goes to the, 35-day, the planning board and back, and next thing you know.
And that's aggressive, because it took us 2 years to fix the floor.
Right.
So, this is important. No, I mean,
But we know it takes.
And the doors.
We get you open one door, and then it's a window.
This is a poor way to introduce an ordinance.
Well, I'll take responsibility for that.
Okay.
I will. I mean,
because it would have been better to have the discussions long before this became.
And I picked up a cold trail from years ago, as if we had all discussed it the day before, and that's my mistake. That's
clearly. 5 years ago was the last we ever heard about it.
And I wasn't here.
I wasn't here either. But that's Committeeman McKee. That fully lands on my shoulders.
There should be a procedure when we're looking at an ordinance that it comes before us for a discussion. I think you and I have talked about that. That there's a discussion, and then we start the ordinance process with an introduction, so on and so forth. This is walking backwards now. We've made an expense, fortunately, under the retainer. But there'll be a point when you'll say, this isn't under the retainer. I think we ought to look at it, all of us together.
As a matter of fact, you did say that a couple of weeks ago. Never again. Never again. It's going out of the retainer.
But again, I don't want to make light of this at any. Of all the things we do, and you know, we've had a lot. We've had serious action tonight, and I don't want to. I mean, the regulation or lack of regulation of political free speech is, you know, it's why it's first. You know, I mean, it's number one for a reason, and you know, the attempt was simply to allow more speech. I know I'm repeating myself. And to protect the township from attack, there will not be a perfect regard. We could spend a lot of time on it. There will not be ever a complete perfect document, but there will be one through discussion that these are certainly talking points of allowable regulation, not limits, reasonably based, non-arbitrary regulation. And, you know, while also weaving in the uniqueness of our municipality.
All right. So if we suspend the current ordinance, will there be political signs all over this front lawn in the November election?
It can't be.
I would suggest.
Well, 100 feet from the polling place.
Actually, as a question to the attorney, that we don't have an ordinance that allows signs on municipal property. Therefore, are we within our rights as a committee to say our policy is no signs on municipal property?
Well, it's our property.
That's our property.
I mean, it's just like I can't pull up to your house and put a sign up against you.
But my point is, if
as long as it's completely neutral, it's universally applied.
I'm trying to address Ms. Kohler's question. So her question was, if we suspend enforcement of the ordinance on the books, must we allow dozens of signs on municipal property? And I'm suggesting we have no ordinance that allows it on municipal property. That's a policy. We could change that policy.
We're a property owner just like any other property owner.
Yeah. What we can't regulate is a person with their private property if they want to put a billboard up with fluorescent print and everything else.
Well,
we're very limited in what we can do.
Billboard is a term of science, but I understand a very large, whether it's commercially made or homemade, but to address what Mr. Wilson said, there are things that could trigger other regulation, non-speech regulation, public safety regulation. You know, somebody puts something up that's 15 feet tall, and it doesn't have a proper base or whatnot. I mean, it falls in. You know, kids delivering. Well, nobody delivers a newspaper anymore. But if somebody gets hurt,
in my discussion with the zoning officer, if somebody puts up a 15-foot sign that could fall into the public road, we can enforce that.
Right.
If somebody puts a 15-foot sign up and it would only endanger their own private property, if we don't have a building code or an ordinance that would address that,
there's a lot of provisions of the building code. I don't want to go into all them, but I mean. This is happening, and it's more, quite the litigation throughout the state is more centered on national politics and even issue politics, pro this, anti that, than it is on. There's still some level of people who run in their town that they live in have more discipline, so most do, to abide by some sort of
level of normalcy, whatever the term is.
So to try to keep this in some order, is there a motion to suspend enforcement of our existing political sign ordinance, chapter 400-13?
Is it the whole sign ordinance or just the time limitations?
Can we suspend just one sentence of?
You can if you
yes,
wish.
Yes, do that.
Yeah, you can if you wish.
Just the sign, just the
temporary.
The temporary.
The ACLU problem.
The 4 weeks prior. The ordinance that limits signs not be erected more than 4 weeks prior to an election, and shall be removed within 48 hours after the completion of the event. The motion would be to not enforce that provision.
Correct. And suspend enforcement.
Which expires on December 31st. So we need to get
by operational law, it will expire 12/31.
Need to be on a schedule.
Correct.
We'll redo it again next year if we need to.
But the suspension.
I'm asking that you really strong. It's time. It's long time.
Yeah.
To whatever consensus you reach or whatever vote is that this be fixed permanently.
I'll make the motion of what Mike had just said for that section of suspending the signs of the 30 days before, prior and 48 hours post-election. That's the only part that I think of major concern.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Would we like to consider a motion regarding policy of signs on municipally owned property?
I think that needs discussion again. I think that's up to the subcommittee.
Yeah.
I think what we should do is create a subcommittee tonight.
Okay, so there's no motion regarding a policy of signs on municipal
gotta
property.
You are persistent.
Is there then a motion to... Would someone like to nominate members of a subcommittee to redraft a sign ordinance, political sign ordinance? I don't mean it to say that I don't want to be on it, but I think given that I was involved with this drafting, I probably would probably benefit from other people being on that subcommittee.
So you don't want to be on it, or you want to be on it with somebody else, or you want two other people?
As I said, I would not put my name forward, not because I don't want to act like I don't want to do something, but I'm saying since I've already had input into this, I would suggest two new faces probably would be better for it.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think that's... I think you'd still be good on it with it. Just another person with you.
I mean, hearing anyone volunteering to be on the sign subcommittee.
I'll volunteer.
And I nominate Mike to be with Abe.
Thank you for the nomination, but I still decline.
Okay. All right.
Can't have a subcommittee of one.
If I knew there was up more than
five, can we have a subcommittee of one? Why not?
I mean, I can, and if you, Abe and I can work together and report back in a meeting or two.
That works for me.
So is there a motion to nominate Abe as the subcommittee?
I'll make that motion.
Go change two or three words and come back to us.
Second.
Roll call.
Roll.
Yes.
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 Yes. That takes us to the next ordinance.
I know.
Ordinance 2021-09, Highlands Checklist Fees. This is an ordinance amending Chapter 230, the Highlands chapter, Chapter 330, Subdivision of Land, Chapter 400, Zoning, Chapter 45, Land Use Procedures. In a nutshell, this creates the checklist for determining completeness of an application under the Highlands Rule submitted under Chapter 230 related subdivision of land issues. So there's a checklist attached to the draft ordinance. Unless there's any committee discussion, we would open to a public hearing.
Well, it deserves about a half an hour historically here now. I'll make a motion to open the public comment.
Mark's been here a while. I don't mean tonight, I mean overall.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. This time, if any member of the public would like to comment on ordinance 2021-09. There's a lot of open chairs over here.
I promise I'll sit on the table.
I have a question. I've not seen this ordinance, but does it require approval from the Highlands before you're considered complete to appear before the board?
This came through the planning board. Does it require?
In other words, is it, it's part of completeness, correct? Checklist?
Yeah, it's we're adopting, we're taking action to formally adopt what is actually
what the Highland has told us to do. But you're asking specifically, as the Highland told us that they have to have.
No, what I'm asking is, do you need Highland's approval first before you get deemed complete to appear before the a board of adjustment or the planning board?
We're not addressing that tonight, but the you would need to do this. I mean, that's the whole point of taking this action.
Yeah.
We hadn't formally adopted these forms, and it was a technicality where they are required, so that's why we were adopting them. It's not changing the rest of the process.
This is the application and establishing the fee and escrow requirements herein shall apply to applications for Highland Resource permits. So I'm not sure that
I'm misinterpreting that, because I'm more concerned with what a checklist has and being deemed complete to appear before a planning board or a board of adjustment. Because one of the problems you sometimes have or had in the past is, well, we had situations where if you had an approval was subject to all outside agencies or other agencies' approval in addition to what the planning board may have passed. And it was incumbent at that point on the applicant, who might have gotten approval, to get further approvals. Does this checklist in any way, shape, or form affect one's ability to appear before a board without getting approval?
I think the answer is a qualified yes, in that we are now formally requiring all these things for completeness, but they were required anyway. We were taking formal action to codify that. So
they were
as a broad issue. The answer to Mr. Wilson's question is yes. As a practical matter, process isn't changing. We are just simply noting for the record that these are required.
Okay.
They are required by operational law. We're saying, and this is for applicants.
Yeah.
This is to say, here you go. Instead of, well, I don't know. This is a clarification, and it while it won't make the process smooth, I won't say it will at least clear up and give some guidance to why is this the list? Because A, Highland says it is, but B, more importantly, because Township Committee formally made it the requirement.
And for a bit of background, I'm a little concerned trying to answer a question when you start by saying you haven't seen exactly what we have. But this came from the planning board, where the planning board attorney, the planner, the engineer, the professionals have told us that this is what the Highlands requires. So I have full confidence with what our attorney just said, that this codifies the Highlands requirements.
I guess what I was saying was, I've not seen the new checklist. I've seen many a checklist over the years for Lebanon County.
Of course. But we're
this is quite a checklist.
On a new checklist.
Okay.
Prepared by the professionals in the planning board. So I have no reason to believe it's not.
Okay. Thank you.
Fully compliant. Any other public comment regarding ordinance 2021-09? Highlands checklist, basically. If not, is there a motion to close public comment?
I'll make a motion to close public comment.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Any discussion from the committee? Is there a motion to adopt ordinance 2021-09 related to the Highlands checklist?
I'll make the motion to adopt ordinance number 2021-09, the Highlands checklist.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes. That takes us to Ordinance 2021-10 relating to amending miscellaneous fees, specifically fees in Section 205-6. Several examples being fees for non-life hazard inspections, smoke-sensitive alarm inspections, PERC witness fees. If there's no discussion from the committee, is there a motion to open public comment?
I'll make a motion to open public comment.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes. This time, if any member of the public would like to comment on proposed ordinance 2021-10, amending miscellaneous fees. Okay.
Damn it.
Daryl Schmidt, 226 Musconetcon. I agree with it. I think it looks great.
any other public comments? If not, is there a motion to close public comment?
Go ahead.
I'll make a motion to close public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes. Any discussion from the committee or a motion to adopt Ordinance 2021-10?
I'll make a motion to adopt Ordinance Number 2021-10.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes. Taking us to Ordinance 2021-11. Other fees and escrow agreements under Chapter 400, various fees for minor subdivision, major subdivision, site plans, etc., and modifying the escrow account and the escrow account requirements and the escrow agreement which is attached. There's no discussion from the committee. Is there a motion to open public comment on Ordinance 2021-11?
I'll make a motion to open to public comment on Ordinance 2021-11.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Any public comment?
I looked at the ordinance, and I had a question concerning minor subdivisions and the increase of the fee for a lot line adjustment from $100 to $150. It may not be significant in terms of the amount, but most people that appear before the local planning board or the board of adjustment are individual homeowners. They're not large developers, from my experience. And in a lot of cases, there have been issues where you have lot line adjustments because maybe a surveyor screwed up, maybe the line is incorrect, maybe there's an issue as to who owns what, and sometimes it ends up before the board. So I don't understand why the fee would be increased. I would think if anything, you'd want to decrease the fee.
One point on that is, because I've dealt with that difficulty, in the instance Mr. Wilson speaks of, if it's the title company that's paying for whatever the process is, the attorney review, the application, all of it. If they miss that, and I've had that more than once, and same thing with a surveyor. But I take his point, but I just note that the majority of those adjustments result from a bad survey or a bad title work, and there's insurance to cover that. I don't want to be onerous on the residents either. Some of these fees, I'm not sure the last time this particular one was adjusted, but haven't been adjusted in some time.
Yeah, I don't have the exact date of the last amendment, but the fees were reviewed with the planning board and board of adjustment secretary, reviewed by the planning board, and the intention of the change in fees was to reflect the amount of resources used for such an application. And so again, we rely on our professionals who tell us that a lot line adjustment, I'm looking at my notes, took a significant amount of time, and I do believe the fees hadn't been changed since at least 2014. I can find it here, which was our last collective bargaining agreement change, and so salaries and costs and the like had increased significantly, and it was felt moving from $100 to $150 reflected the resources required for that application.
I understand what you're saying. I don't object to any of the others. It's this one, because that's the ordinary common person is going to end up before a board because they built a deck 2 feet over their setback line 20 years ago. They go to sell their house. It becomes an issue. They have to go before the Board of Adjustment.
There's
a lot of fees involved.
That's a lot line adjustment if you build a deck into...
Well, that'd be more of a variance. It'd be a lot line adjustment, but sometimes that becomes part of the issue, too. And what Mr. Lyons said is accurate. The title company will cover that, but they also have a deductible in those policies. So that I'd add that to the mix, but that's the only thing I have on this.
My view on this is that these costs are to the individual.
Right.
Not to the taxpayer.
Correct.
Your statement is to turn it over to the tax, the rest of the residents to pay for that mistake that person made. This is for them to pay for their own mistake.
I don't necessarily agree with that because it may not be a mistake they made. They hired somebody to take care of that situation for them. But
not my property. It's their property. They're correcting their property.
Public session.
Thank you for the public comment. Any other comments from the public? Seeing none, is there a motion to close public comment?
I'll make a motion to close public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. At this time, any discussion from the committee?
I'll make a motion to approve ordinance number 2021-11.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. And that finishes our ordinances on the agenda for tonight, and the end of the public hearings. Takes us to Resolution 75-2021, authorizing the contract modification with Road Safety Systems, LLC, for the Hollow Road guide rail replacement.
Well, unfortunately, Mayor, we did go into an agreement with Rail Guide Systems last year, and we had a improvement for Hollow Road guide rails. And the price they had put in there was $139,294.05. And why I say unfortunately, they revised that bid July 21st of this year, reflecting higher material costs. And the cost for the metal now increased to the increase was $72,062.95, which brought the bid that was originally $139,294.04.05 to $211,357, resulting in an increase of $72,062 because of the metal. And Warren Gabriel and the attorney, we looked into it, and we have the funds and capital to absorb this, and there's a possibility that we may be able to try to work to with the grant to get some funding back, but we're not sure about that at this time. We'll look into that, but unfortunately we're going to go and continue this because we feel there's a need for the guide rail to be replaced on Hollow Road. So the funds are in the capital ordinance of this year, and the CFO has attached information saying that he's looked at it and he's approved the expenditure from where it's coming from. So if anyone would like to make that motion on resolution number 75-2021, that's for the increase in the guide rail.
Is there any other discussion or motion?
So assumably they were saying they were pulling their bid or doing the increase.
Excuse me?
Assumably they were saying they were pulling their bid or doing the increase. Those were essentially the
exactly
two options.
Right.
Did you make the motion to?
I'll make the motion to approve the increase in the amount of $72,062.95, which brings the Hollow Road guide rail replacement cost to $211,357. The funds to become out of our capital ordinance of 2021. And the funds have been examined and there by our CFO.
Second that.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Next resolution also related to the DPW.
After a long process, we have narrowed down and we have offered the mechanic position to an individual named James Andrew Stevens II. He has agreed to our terms and our wage. He has all the certifications and qualifications that we needed. I think he'll be a good fit. He seems to work well with Warren and the gang. And his start date will be September 1st, 2021. That's resolution number 76-2021, appointing new mechanic James Andrew Stevens II.
I'll make a motion to approve resolution number 76-2021, approving appointing of the new mechanic James Andrew Stevens II.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. And then resolution 77-2021 relating to hunting on municipal property. Before I turn it over to Mark, I would just like to say that the township a couple of years ago now passed an ordinance to allow enable this resolution to come forward, and our Environmental and Open Space Commission has done a lot of work over the last couple of years, both to prepare the ordinance, to get the lands posted and ready, to do a lot of background work, and Mark, as liaison to the Environmental Open Space Commission, has also done a lot of work to bring this to its point of resolution in front of us. Over to you, Mark.
So, yeah, we're the hunting season starts soon. This resolution is just for bow at this point. We're not doing any gun, shotgun. It's just to address bow permit, fall permit, and winter. Educated on the differences recently. we have our individual lots that we are addressing, individual permits for those individual pieces of property. They're probably at this point, they might be light, and we erred on the side of conservatively having the permit number low just for managing it, seeing how it works, seeing how we move forward with this. If there's more, if there's more room in there, great. Then we can address it. It's a resolution that we'll have to, deal with each year. And the intent is here on, since we don't know what our public is going to respond to this, we have 17 permits we can give out. We don't know if we're going to get 7 or 70. So it'll be a lottery on September 3rd. I'll meet with the chief. We'll go through the process of pulling out the applications one by one. It is on the application a selection of all 6 locations of priority 1 through 6. So if one fills up, we'll move to the next priority and down the lane as we pull them. Trying to be as fair as we can across the board to pull this permits all out. Is there any questions?
So the resolution in the form of the application is in front of us. Any discussion, or would there be a motion to adopt resolution 77-2021? Which would establish 17 permits for hunting on public lands and set September 3rd as the deadline for the lottery to grant the permits, and any remaining permits after September 3rd would be issued on a first-come, first-served basis by applicants, and the police department
and availability of space.
The police department will run the lottery and distribute the permits.
Okay.
I'll make the motion to approve resolution 77-2021.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes. No other resolutions before us. No old business on the agenda for tonight.
Can I just one thing of old business that really was just like an hour ago? I can.
Old by now.
Yeah, there was something in the one of the cannabis letters about the mayor signing. Tonight, I mean, we're down to the deadline. Need to sign this ordinance tonight, the opt-out. So is that going to happen tonight? Because they advised you not to sign it. You signed
it. Folder.
Okay.
Well, I don't sign it till it's...
There's that other certification line that's got to... Because I don't have it on my copy. It's on his?
Is the certification for me on the bottom?
It always is, but...
it wasn't on...
It dropped down on the...
Okay, because I know you said you were going to have it for us. That's why I thought maybe it somehow got missed.
Double check it. Yes.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
I had to put it in a nice file. I didn't want, it was a lot of extra.
Okay. No, it's fine. As long as it's, so that's my old business. That was it.
That takes us to the administrator's report.
Thank you, Mayor. Last time it worked real good. Now it's not working.
I turned you down.
With regards to the basement, I spoke to the DPW director, Warren, and phase one has been completed, which is clean all the basement, back room, wall and ceiling, furnace and vault room, I mean vault file. And the scrubber, air scrubbers were still on, but RK Environmental did come in today and took samples. I'm waiting on the samples. Warren said they did actually really did a really good job downstairs, and it looks really, really good right now. So, but once that's completed, we'll find out when phase two is going to start, and I'll report on that as well. I spoke to the IT consultant today with regards to computers in town in the township, especially the deputy clerk's computer, which was it's very important she gets a new computer. She's been having a lot of issues. So one of the issues we're having, just like it's hard to get metal, it's hard to get computers. So they have been, there's two have been ordered for areas that need them, and the deputy clerk is one of them. So I got more here. Just got a good news, the hazard mitigation, all the signatures are finally complete, which we got the last signature today, and I sent it to the OEM coordinator for final approval down at the county, and our annex will be up to date. The hazard mitigation and flood manual will be up to date. LOSAP, I know the last time we spoke with regards to return of the contributions. Update on that is I sent over and Mark with that resolution 44-2019, which was dated on April 17th, 2019. I sent over that resolution, list the names, and we should receive the contributions. Return the contributions back shortly. And I went today to visit the DPW building because there was a township resident that was concerned that part of the facade was hit, and I spoke to the Warren, the DPW director, and the damage really looks more aesthetic than anything else. But I did contact the insurance company just in case it exceeds the $1,000 of our. What do you call it, kids?
Deductible.
Thank you. Deductible.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need other people to help you out.
Sweet.
Got your back, Gene.
The good news now going forward is there was a lot going on with the policy procedure manual. I met with the township attorney today. It's 99%.
Under the retainer.
Huh?
Under the retainer.
Yeah. And we, I'm hoping to have it to, and I'm sure I will, September 1st. And prior to that, you can review it so we can have the policy procedure manual for the township, which I really believe is very, very important. That being said, I'm going to be I created a spreadsheet. It's called a dashboard, and I'm going to use it for overtime, but I have to get all the overtime numbers from 2019, 2020, and 2021. And it's good to have that because you get to see each year what you guys compile over and over time. Also, I know that now we get reports from the police department. That'll be part of the dashboard too. That every month that you guys will get a report with regards to are there increase in burglaries or this and that. So you get to see that over the course of time. But the good thing about the overtime is you get to really track it within the years. I'm going to extend that even further with other parts of the budget as well. The dashboard comes in very handy because you get to use the dashboard and all its information for budgets going forward, and you get to see the budgets that you had prior. So that's going to take time to compile because I need the information from, I'm going to go far back. It's 19, 20, and 21. I'll start inputting what I can, but the overtime is the one I want to really track.
2019.
So, but I already contacted the CFO, yeah. So he's going to give me the information with regards to the overtime. So now you have an accurate on all the, on basically the DPW and the police department, yeah, which are the most important, which are the ones that have most of the overtime. And that's it for my report.
When do we get the tour downstairs?
What's that?
We're going to have a tour once
we'll do
down.
A tour, right?
No, Mr. Then you can contaminate it. Can't go down there.
Well, eventually, you know. We can get Mr. Mold. I heard he's like worldwide known as Mr. Mold.
Who's that?
Mike.
Oh,
Guinness.
Mike.
I didn't realize
Mr.
that.
Mr. Mold. Well, yeah. That means I won't go near him then. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you.
And committee.
So there's no new business on the agenda, so we go straight to presentation of vouchers.
All right. My first one is for B&R uniforms. It's for police badges and other miscellaneous items for $1,457.30. Next one is also from B&R uniforms for, again, more shirts, boots, pants, outfitting, one officer. Actually, I think two officers. $2,164.25. Oh, that was one officer. I'm sorry. And this is to outfit another officer with all of the necessary, including magazine cases and all the other, you know, Batman utility belt and all that good stuff. $2,145.25. That's it.
I have one here for C&M Auto Parts for $1,043.50. I have another one here for Old Castle Precast, which is for road improvements, 8 inlet basins, $4,120. That's it.
I have County of Hunterdon, the second quarter health inspection fees of $1,600, and to Vital Communications for 2 months of our subscription to them, totaling $1,132.
I have none that apply.
None.
So the total voucher list, very small this meeting, $20,939.92. Is there a motion to approve the voucher list?
I'll make a motion to approve the voucher list.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. We have one item of correspondence, the animal control report. Anything like that?
Dogs here and there. The only one that I'm wondering if it's a typo is how did somebody have 20 orange cats go missing? I didn't know you could have 20 orange cats just in general. So I'm hoping
five
that's
days.
Yeah. I'm hoping that's a typo because you know Heathcliff is everywhere.
Thank you.
That's the
no
same
action.
Thing my husband said when I told him. I'm saying, how can 20 cats be missing? And he goes, how does somebody have all orange cats? I said, that's why there's five people on the committee. Everybody thinks differently.
With that, we would open to public comment on any topic anyone would like to address. Is there a motion to open to public comment?
I'll make a motion to open the public comment.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. This time, if any member of the public would like to make a comment, the floor is yours. Identify name and road.
Sharon Petzinger, 320 Dogwood. And I can talk about anything I want.
You have a First Amendment right to
yeah.
talk about anything you'd like.
Well, first of all, I think, Mayor, I heard twice you saying during the public hearing that you rely on your professionals and you go based on their guidance. And that's just, thank you for that. I don't work for, you know, the township. I'm a volunteer, but I am a professional. And to hear someone of authority say that, I think, is really important. So I just want to commend you for, and the committee for listening to the professionals that you employ for the township. So given, I also want to thank you for passing Resolution 77 for the deer hunting ordinance resolution.
And Sharon Petzinger put a lot of work and effort. She's a member of our Environmental Open Space Commission, so thank you for
yes.
all your work.
Yes, I serve the community on the Environmental Open Space Commission, but I'm also a professional wildlife biologist, which thank you for listening to professionals. And so I just want to, you know, I offer my services as a professional on the Environmental Open Space Commission, but any questions regarding, I don't work with deer per se, but I understand the impacts of deer on the environment. So any questions about that and wildlife and forest management and how we can improve our township for that, I am happy to do so. That's it.
Thank you very much. Mm.
You had so much more you could say.
Any other members of the public who'd like to make a comment?
I made it through twice now.
Is there, Guy Wilson, 158 Mount Grove Road, is there any ongoing effort now in regard to the removal of white ash trees by the township itself that might be in the right-of-ways of the township roads?
In the right-of-ways, we don't have a broad program. JCP&L does anything close to power lines. My understanding is even in the right-of-way, the ash trees are the responsibility of the property owner. We continually evaluate if we have white ash on public parks and public property, publicly owned property that may create a danger. We're not going into the middle of the woods looking for dead ash trees, but if we identify a potential danger, we deal with that.
And that's only on municipal property or that municipal property itself. It wouldn't be in the right-of-way. You're saying that's the homeowner's responsibility or the power and light if it interferes?
If it's anywhere near a power line, we rely on JCP&L, and we have no program for broadly going up another right-of-way.
We could even do it if we wanted to, go into a property.
Department cuts it up when it falls across the road.
Yeah, when it falls. I believe you're referring to standing.
Proactively, we can't
standing.
Go on the property.
I was referring to standing because there are certain roads in the township where it's beyond belief. I mean, on Mount Grove Road, there must be 50 trees within a distance of maybe 400 or 500 feet that are going to eventually drop across the road, and they always take the electric lines out. The other day I tried to go to work, and they had Huffman's Crossing Road closed because one of the ash trees fell and ripped down the wires. It's becoming a daily occurrence. But
and we try to make these not discussions, but I will point out that we've had JCP&L here before. They can cut trees in the right-of-way, which in many cases is only 15 feet from the road, even if they know that there's a 50-foot tree 10 feet beyond the right-of-way.
They can't go there.
They can't go there without the owner's permission. Even if it's going to take down the power line. So
I think this is going to become a real major problem shortly.
It is a major problem.
Yeah. Thank you.
Any other public comment? Seeing none. Is there a motion to close public comment?
I'll make a motion to close public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. We have no topics for executive session tonight. So the only motion in front of us is a motion to adjourn.
I'll make the motion to adjourn.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, a minute.